God loved Jacob so much that he came down, and he's willing, I want to tell you, he's willing to come to any of us and spend a long time with us. This is, again, the message, the real message I want to bring to you today. How much God loves you, how far he's willing to go to come and comfort you, beyond the many great truths found in here.
Knowing God, meeting God, is primarily a personal matter, and that's the best way that we're going to hear him, in the privacy of our own heart and in the closet room of our prayers. Jacob was leaving Laban and heading out to meet his brother Esau, and he was scared. He crossed a river, and sometimes we need to cross a river, coming face to face with that moment when decisions need to be made and even new directions need to be taken. Jacob strived with God, and he's injured. But while God wounds him, he also blesses him. What a better time for God to show his comfort than in times of fear. What humility on the part of God to come down and wrestle with Jacob face to face. Why should the King of Kings do such a marvelous thing for us? Why would he take the time to individually wrestle with each one of us? Because of his love. He wants to tell us that we are never alone, and that though we might feel that way, he battles with us and for us. So who won that battle between Jacob and God? It would seem that Jacob might have won it because he was blessed with a new name. But we know that God won, for love and its effects prevail over all actions and covers a multitude of sin. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Genesis with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. So let's open up our scriptures to Genesis 32:24. Today we're going to see one of the most mysterious and intriguing encounters yet in Genesis. It's about God meeting Jacob. But this time it's not from the top of a ladder. This time God comes down and actually wrestles with Jacob. And he does so for a long time, a whole night. This is what the account says. Our first reaction is to say that it couldn't have been a physical wrestling because man runs no chance at all to sustain such a fight against God. Yet we're told that in the process, Jacob's hip was dislocated. And at the end, he goes away limping. So it was actually physical. However, at the very end of the fight, Jacob recognizes something in this man. The man, this is how he is first called. Seeing something beyond the physical, Jacob asks the man to bless him. So it was not only physical, there's another dimension, a spiritual dimension to this wrestling, to this fight. And as the man blesses him, he at the same time changes Jacob's name to what? Israel. Here is our first encounter with the name Israel in the Bible, the first of 2,506 times mentioned from Genesis to Revelation. Here is the beginning of Israel. The whole thing is very intriguing, just like the nation of Israel is today. And it's after the fight that Jacob says something that still perplexes many commentators. As he recognizes the identity of the man, he says, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." God. How can you call a man God? This was such a surprise for Jacob, and he says, "How can I still be living now that I've seen God?" Who did he see? Whoever it was God, because there's only one God, right? And what kind of wrestling was this? How physical could it have been? And what is its spiritual dimension? Just want to tell you that Hui, like Job, also leave the scene shuffled. This encounter leaves us with a load more questions, but let me tell you what is not mysterious at all and very clearly stated in this story. God and man, they both met. We may argue about the nature of the wrestling, but what is crystal clear is that God came down and took the form of a man and touched and spoke face to face with Jacob. That's the message here. This is the extraordinary thing, and this is what so many just refuse to see. Again, who do you think this man is? Who could it be but Yeshua, right? Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." It is Yeshua, and this is why there is so much resistance seen in this chapter, in this passage. But do you see, by the way, how Genesis further prepares the reader to meet his Savior? And why this encounter right here in Genesis? This is the other great part of the story. Jacob just came out of a very difficult encounter with Laban, who wanted to actually kill him. God intervened in a dream and warned Laban not to touch Jacob, and now Jacob is about to face a bigger foe, Esau, who also promised to kill him, so not only his life was in danger, but the family through whom the Messiah was to come was also in danger. So God comes, and he comes physically, he comes to comfort Jacob, whose heart must have been so heavy with all these worries. This is what the encounter was all about, really. It's about how God cares for us. God loved Jacob so much that he came down, and he's willing, I want to tell you, he's willing to come to any of us and spend a long time with us. This is, again, the message, the real message I want to bring to you today. How much God loves you, how far he's willing to go to come and comfort you. Beyond the many great truths found in here, this is what comes out at the end. We, like Jacob, all wrestle and are wrestling, and like him, at the end of each encounter, we can come out winners. We can come out champions because God is with us and he blesses us. Now let us read the account of this fight, Genesis 32, 24 to 30, and see how beautiful it is. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "What is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." This, I want to tell you, is the gospel according to Jacob. Let us see what we can learn from this passage. See the first words leading to the encounter. Then Jacob was what? Left alone. This is how the story begins. It is when he was alone and only then that he encountered the Lord. God did not meet Jacob while he was busy, or with his family or friends, or in the midst of any distraction in this life. He waited, it seems, until he was alone. It is when we are alone. It is then when we can hear, we can feel his mighty presence and see the face of God, really. Knowing God, meeting God is primarily a personal matter. At the congregation, you meet God in worship, in his word, in fellowship with others, but all these encounters take a much more significance after that one had the first initial meeting, after that one has this ongoing personal relationship with God. You know that at the core of biblical religion, biblical Christianity, so to speak, is first a personal relationship with God. Every believer should have this connection with God before they can enjoy the benefit of a congregation of believers. Many start the other way around and get lost in the process and become so disappointed. Let us learn from men and women of God in the scriptures. Let me ask you something. You know, when you read your Bible, don't you have this impression that the prophets of God were loners? Right? One may conclude that they were fighting solo against the whole world. Well, this is true for many of them. This impression we get is there because what the Bible above all things brings out, it is the story of these men's close relationship with God. They were partners with God. It was them, God, and then the rest. Paul, for instance, was always surrounded with so many people. He was so loving, so charismatic. Why then do we get the impression that he was fighting the fight alone against everyone? The truth is that he began with God. This is why he is so biblical, so strong. This is why he's Paul. You know, when an individual comes to a congregation who has first a personal relationship with God, or who is looking to develop a connection with his God, this person becomes a blessing to the church. These are the happy people of the scriptures. And so away from family and friends, Jacob was left alone, and God took this opportunity to speak to him, to wrestle with him, and to bless him, and to bless us as well, because this part of the scriptures is for us. However, beyond the personal aspect, here we have a great revelation of the ways God manifests himself. The account begins with the appearance of an individual, Ish, not Adam, Ish, translated man, and ends up by saying that this man is God. This is what is clear here, right? Verse 24, it says, a man wrestled with him. Verse 30, I've seen God face to face. How else can you read this? This is where those who do not want to believe in the Messiah of the Bible just stop and fall. If they do not concede that God can come into the body of a man, these are the ones who would really go on limping for the rest of the scriptures. Anyone who interprets this passage as it is written would see Yeshua. At the end, they will see him. However, there are those who interpret this passage away. How did they do it? I want to tell you how they do it, because this is very revealing to us, because the way they do it, many are using the same method, especially today, even in the evangelical churches, and at an increased rate. Let me start with some of the rabbis, and then we'll go to the Gentiles, right? Listen how far they went to avoid the clarity of these scriptures. Most in rabbinical Judaism connect this encounter with the next one, with Esau. So they say that the man was really Esau's angel fighting Jacob. Like a pre-fight before the big one. I understand if you don't understand, because it just doesn't make sense, right? We read in the Midrash, it says, it was the guardian prince, angel of Esau. To this Jacob alluded when he said to him, for as much as I have seen thy face, one sees the face of Elohim. Another, Maimonides, said it was all a dream. It is his famous Guide to the Perplexed where he said it. He says, all this passed in a prophetic vision. Do not imagine that an angel is seen or his word heard. Why not? One modern commentator said that this man was Esau's alter ego. An alter ego is like a copy of oneself or alternative personality. You know, Superman had an alter ego. He was a newsman in the daytime and Superman in troubled times. So was Esau, apparently. He was a man in the daytime and an angel in the nighttime. But their interpretation is clearly out of line, because at the end, the man blesses Jacob and gives him a new name, Israel. Should we conclude that Esau's evil angel blessed Jacob and gave the name of Israel to Jacob? The Bible is very clear. It is actually the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, who gave the name of Israel to Jacob, as we see it in 2 Kings 17:34.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with the second half of our program coming up just after this message. As we wind up for the second part of our program today, we would like to remind our listeners how blessed and privileged we feel to be part of your radio day. We pray that the messages you hear will instruct you, edify you, and encourage you to love the Lord more and follow Him into obedience in even greater ways. We are all changed by the challenges and transformed by the trials of life. And as we walk them together, we keep looking up to Him who is mighty to break down the walls of Jericho that stand before us and to hand over to us the spiritual victories in life. Yeshua has broken down the greatest barrier, the greatest wall that has separated us from God the Father. Thank you, listeners, for joining us in prayer and in financial support for this ministry. If you have it on your heart to give to this ministry, then you can by logging on to our congregation website at BethAriel.ca. And if God leads you to contribute from the treasures that God has blessed you with for the continuation of this radio ministry. Shalom, shalom, as we begin part two of today's program.
The Savior of Israel, Yeshua. We have been taught all along that no man can take the name of Israel. Israel is an entity not replaceable. Who then is the other Israel? There's no other that carries the name of Israel but Yeshua himself.
In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 5, we hear of two Israels. We hear of the nation named by God, the people themselves, and we hear of Israel, the servant, the Messiah, who will bring Jacob, that is, the nation of Israel, back to himself. And so while we see the striving of Jacob with God, we know that God strives with all men to bring them back to him. And though we see an injury in the hip of Jacob, which is illustrative of a life of suffering for the Jewish people, it also points to the ultimate Israel, the Messiah himself, who would struggle on our behalf and give his life as an offering, which is the ultimate mark of a struggle. Why would we ever want to let go of the Lord? Why would Jacob have wanted to let go? Just like Mary Magdalene at Yeshua's resurrection, why would she want to let go? Why would we want to let go when we have so great a salvation given to us? But we can let go of our fears and our guilts and our sins of the past as long as we are holding fast onto the Lord. Those are the things that we can let go of. The Hebrew word for wrestling, abak, is also the word for dust. But this is not just any dust. It is the dust that flies away after the refining in a hot furnace. Yes, we are refined when we struggle with God, holding him so very close, allowing nothing to come between us and him. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Genesis with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
By the way, one rabbi, a biblical commentator, David Kimshi from the 11th century, moved out of the mold and boldly recognized the message here. This is what he wrote. He says, the angel not only says that he's God, but that Jacob had worshipped him as such. Then beyond all doubt, he was God. That was bold. Clearly, he saw it. But did he have enough courage to go one step further and see that it was Yeshua? See that you can find all points of view within Judaism, arguing and having different opinions is actually a Jewish tradition. Two Jews, three opinions, remember, this is very true. But the Gentiles do the same today in an alarming rate in the churches. How do they do it? Do you know what is the most prominent approach to the Bible with Christians today? The same as the one we just mentioned. They allegorize what is clearly stated in the scriptures. Do you know that for many Christians, we are in the messianic times, in the millennium? The lamb, they say, is eating with the wolf, as Isaiah says. This is present today, they say. They must be very spiritual. This, I think, is a case of alter ego, right? The knowledge of the glory of God is already covering the earth, as Habakkuk said. So they say, it matters not that many countries forbid the preaching of the word of God now. It matters not that the word is less and less accepted in our society. They still preach that the church will take hold, will take over the world and transform it. They are very optimistic. Do you know that this approach was originally adopted by the Catholic Church in 1700 years ago, whose theology teaches that Satan is bound and that the church will change the whole world and then Christ will come? This is what they believe today. This is the majority. This stand is now spilling into the evangelical churches at an alarming rate. And who is left hanging in between? Jacob. Israel. Which, in their view, has no right anymore to the promised land or the promises of God. They become a burden. This is why they are boycotting Israeli goods. This is why they don't like the Jews. But in our text, their antagonism is even prophesied, especially in the name Israel. Let us begin with verse 25 and then go on to the name. By the way, verse 25 is a very difficult verse to understand, but it is very prophetic. He says he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. The word hip in there must be very important because it is mentioned at least five times between verse 25 to 32. What is its meaning? The word is the Hebrew yarek, translated at times as hip or thigh. It is considered the place of foundation of man. This word is also translated as descendants. It's translated as the offsprings and speaks of the future of man in his children. And this is so appropriate considering the place of Jacob in God's plan. Here God touches the thigh of Jacob because The encounter is not only about Jacob. It's about Israel itself. But touching Jacob's thigh, it is as if God was recalling and affirming Jacob's election. And at the end, Jacob goes limping, very much like Israel's walk today. It's limping. And it is here where we see the name of Israel, verse 28, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. So the new name would be Israel. Do you know what Israel means? Its meaning, I'm going to tell you, is as mysterious as the counter itself and as mysterious as the Jews today. One would have thought that a name mentioned so many times in the Bible would be easy to understand, but no, so many definitions are given. Some say that it means the Prince of God. Others, to contend or fight with God, or God himself fights. Others say that God judges, from the word safat, to judge. They say it's there. One said that Israel's grammatical structure has no exact analog among biblical names or personal names in the scriptures. He's right. And all these interpretations may all be true, by the way, but there is one word which is prominent in the name. What is it? Struggle. Struggle. See the reason, by the way, God gave Jacob for the change of name in verse 28. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. This is the reason Jacob struggled, and this word struggle is what? Sarah. Like the name of the mother of Israel, Sarah comes from a root word meaning to fight, to prevail. The word wrestle and striven are then right in the name of Israel. This is revealing. So we have the words God and struggle together in the name of Israel. But what is it, by the way? Is it Israel fighting against God? Or is it Israel fighting with God? I just want to tell you, both are very true. Both are true. We have already seen how God is fighting alongside Israel. Abimelech and his army chief recognize great spiritual power in Isaac. We've seen this last week, the week before. We've seen him fight with Israel in preserving her through the 2,000 years history. We saw him in the last several wars in Israel, 56, 1956, 67, 73, and today as well. God fights with Israel. But the other meaning is as true. Israel is fighting God. How is that? She's fighting against Yeshua. She does not want to recognize him. She is Israel fighting God. Isaiah began the account of the life of the Messiah, but who has believed our report? He is the same prophet who said that the Lord himself will be but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. How could that be? It's because they're fighting against God in this sense. Israel is the name of the nation, but do you know, by the way, who else is called Israel in the scriptures? Let me bring you to Isaiah 49. This is beautiful, by the way. Here the Messiah speaks as he is getting ready for Isaiah 53, right? Look what happens in verse... I'm just going to read verse 3 and 5. And so he said to me, this is the Messiah speaking, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But, by the way, is this the nation or the Messiah whom God is referring to? See verse 5. "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him." You know, there's a dichotomy here. That is, there are two things that differ widely but seem to be the same. We find that there are two Israels, right? In verse 3, we see that the servant is Israel. And yet in verse 5, that same servant who is Israel saves Israel. Who's that? The Savior of Israel, Yeshua. We have been taught all along that no man can take the name of Israel. Israel is an entity, not replaceable. Who then is the other Israel? There's no other that carries the name of Israel, but Yeshua himself. You know, when the church comes against Israel, becomes anti-Israel, it literally turns against Jesus. He is Israel as well. Here, the nation is called by the name of Jacob, right? Because Jacob failed. The Messiah comes, becomes the servant, and fights for her and becomes Israel. God did not only come down to wrestle or to bless Jacob, he even took his place for a while. He even died for him. He died for each one of us. This is the God of our scriptures. And this relation, by the way, I just want to bring you another verse, beautiful, from the same prophet. This relation between Israel and Yeshua is further seen in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. The word government is the word Mizra. Also from the name comes the word Sarah, which means struggle. Struggle. So when it says that the government will be on his shoulder, like the one of Israel, he came actually to struggle, to fight, to wrestle for us. Something that Israel couldn't do, something that no man could do. This is why he became Israel for a while. This is in many ways how the history of Israel began. Not only Israel started with a struggle, but it also started with a great disadvantage. Israel's hip being out of joint. How can you walk well with a hip out of joint? This sets a precedence of Israel's life throughout the century, a life of struggle until the Messiah comes back, until Yeshua comes back, and then they will say, they will recognize the one they have pierced. They will recognize their Messiah. I just want to tell you, rare were the times of peace in the life of the people of Israel. Maybe a few years here and there, with Solomon, some with David. Now, how does this passage speak to us, though? There's one important question we did not answer yet. What was the nature of the wrestling? In which way God wrestled with Jacob? We understand that it was partly physical. Jacob ended up limping, but Jacob could not have been that badly hurt as he held on to the man and did not want to let him go until the man blessed him. So there's a spiritual aspect to it. What was it? I ask you one question. Have you spoken to God lately? Have you wrestled with God lately? Reading verse 25, it seems that the Messiah was there waiting for Jacob to be alone. Then we read that the man wrestled with him as if he took him by surprise. He was waiting for this moment. He initiated the fight. And it is so significant that he came as a man. For God will fight your fight. He will come to you to your level, to teach you and to bless you.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer a simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom, Shalom.